So we've been looking at God's plan for our life. We're going to look at some different things today related to that. But first, let's follow the usual procedure. Take a moment of silent prayer. Give us a chance to lay aside the sin which so easily entangles us, and a chance to put aside any other problems we have so we can concentrate on the Word of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the chance to gather together and to look at your word. Take these things and teach them to us and make them a source of challenge and blessing to us. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. All right, in Colossians 1, you know, it basically comes down to this. As far as living God's plan for your life, as far as accomplishing what he wants you to accomplish, you have to realize Colossians 1 in verse 16, it said, and I think we saw this last time, it says, "For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible, thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He's before all things. In him all things hold together. He's also head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything." Okay, and that's kind of what it comes down to. Okay, that's where we have to look. You have to realize that he is the most important thing. His plan is the most important thing for your life. You know, when you get up in the morning, this is what you should be working towards. What can I do for God today? Okay, and as we've seen so far in this study, God, remember and realize this, that he created you. He created your physical appearance, your personality, your background, your environment, your parents. Okay, the time and place of your birth, all of these things God had a specific hand in. He did these things for you. So every part of it, okay, is a part of his plan for you starting right now. Okay? And this, understanding this, if he did all these things for me, if he sat down and picked out and, you know, I mean, not really because he's always known, but he sat down and said, okay, on this day in February when Mal wakes up, this is what I need to do. I need to start off with these parents, having born in this place, having go through all these certain things, all these certain circumstances, so that when I got up this morning, okay, I was exactly poised where he wanted me to accomplish what he wants me to accomplish today. Okay, and that's the way you have to look at it. And the issue is, if he did all this, okay, why would he go to all that trouble unless he had something specific in mind? Okay, and that's what you have to look at. All right, the next thing we need to look at is he's got to be first place. But a lot of times we let other things control or drive us. Okay, I love that word drive, because drive in the dictionary, it means to control or direct. Okay, and what is controlling or directing you? What's controlling or directing your life? Everybody's driven or controlled by something. Okay, and there are certain things that drive a lot of people that we're going to look at. Okay, and hopefully the point here is that we can learn to recognize some of these things that we do ourselves, okay, and change it. You know, this used to happen. I had this mental picture this morning of, you know, and I'm sure this used to happen to Jack Bauer all the time. But, you know, he's and you've seen it in a million movies. The guy, well, you know, there's some bad guys around or something. This guy gets in the back of a taxi, and they start off driving somewhere, and they immediately say, you know where I'm going with this? Wait, this isn't the way to the airport. Okay? You've all seen it, right? Wait a minute. We're going the wrong way. Okay? That's the picture I want you to have. Okay? When you let these other things drive you, okay, you're going the opposite way from the airport. You are not going where God wants you to go. Okay? It's the perfect analogy, because these things will drive you the wrong way. Okay? The first one we want to look at, one of the most common ones, okay, is the principle of guilt. Okay? And I want to kind of expand this, because this doesn't mean just feeling bad about something you've done. Okay? It can also include, you know, from guilt, you could be running away from mistakes you've made. You can trying to please people. Okay, because you feel like, oh, well, you know, if this person's not happy with me, or if I don't do what they want me to do, you know, I feel bad making them feel a certain way. You're feeling guilty. You know, you're worried about, you know, disappointing somebody else. Okay, all those things play into this idea of guilt. Okay, John 12:42, we'll look at this one in a minute. He said, "Nevertheless, many, even of the rulers, believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they were not confessing him for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue." Okay, for they loved the approval of men rather than the approval of God. Okay, Luke 16:15 says, "You are those who justify yourselves in the sight of men, but God knows your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is detestable in the sight of God." And we'll look at that in a little more detail, thinking about the things that people think are important, okay, are very often different than what God thinks is important. But so many people are driven or controlled by their memories, okay, or their past, and especially related to past failures. They'll let the things that have happened in the past control their present and therefore control their future. Okay, and listen, this Revelation 12:10 tells us this is one of the ways that Satan loves to attack believers. Okay, because he stands before the throne and accuses and attacks us related to our sins. Okay, Satan loves to stand there and say, you know, Mal, well, why can Mal possibly get into heaven? Look at what he's done. Okay, and he loves to do the same thing to us. Okay, Satan would like nothing more than for you to get in the back of his taxi and let guilt drive you away from the airport. Okay? This is what he wants to do, because he knows if he can get you feeling guilty, if he can get you concentrating on the past failures that you have, okay, he can take you the wrong way. Okay? Because you will not be accomplishing God's will when you're doing that. He loves to make us feel guilty. Okay? Because guilt will do some terrible things to you. All right? Guilt, first off, guilt will make you separate from God. Go look at Genesis 3. Y'all know the story. Genesis 3, verse 7, after they had the apples, says, "Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. The Lord called to the man, 'Where are you?' He said, 'I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself.'" What did he do? He felt guilty. "I can't believe I did that. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to hide." Okay, so if you got something that you're feeling bad about, eating apples or whatever, okay, it will make you separate from God. It'll make you hide. Okay, one of the reasons Satan loves to attack us with guilt. All right, go look at that in John 12. Well, never mind. I just read it. Because they love the approval of men more than the approval of God, right? All right, now, you'll have to excuse, as we did a few weeks ago, you'll have to excuse my slight use of hyperbole here. Okay, because the Word of God does tell you in Romans 12:18 to, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Okay, but I will tell you right now, it does not matter what people think of you. Okay, has no bearing on your spiritual life whatsoever. Okay, and let's go look at a perfect example of this, Acts 28. Okay, well, you know, what it comes down to, and you know, look at yourself, people are fickle. Okay, they'll think one thing of you 1 second and one thing different a minute later. Okay, and it has no bearing on your spiritual status or your relationship with God. Okay, it doesn't matter what people think. Acts 28, I love this. You know, this is right after Paul is shipwrecked, I think for the third time, second or third time. Acts 28, verse 1. says, when they had been brought safely through, then we found out that the island was called Malta. The natives showed us extraordinary kindness, for because of the rain that had set in and because of the cold, they kindled a fire and received us all. But when Paul had gathered a bunch of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened itself on his hand. Okay? Snake bite. When the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they began saying to one another, undoubtedly, this man is a murderer. And though he's been saved from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live. Okay, so what do they think? This guy's a murderer. However, he shook the creature off into the fire and suffered no harm. But they were expecting that he was about to swell up or suddenly fall down dead. But after they had waited a long time and had seen nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their minds and began to say that he was a god. Okay, you know, what did Paul do? Nothing. Just shook it off, right? Okay, instead of a murderer, now he's a god. Some people are fickle. Okay, are you worried about what people think of you? Are you feel guilty because there are certain people that don't think well of you? Do you want everybody to like you and do you want everybody to speak well of you?
Of course. I mean, that's human nature.
Go to Luke 6. It is human nature.
Can I quote Katharine Hepburn from The African Queen again? Human nature, Mr. Alder, is what we place in this world to rise above.
Okay, I like that. I like that.
Support always liquor out and said it's human nature.
Yeah. That's right, I forgot about that. Luke 6, 26. Jesus says, Luke 6:26, woe to you when all men speak well of you, for their fathers used to treat the false prophets in the same way. Listen, if everybody speaks well of you, if everybody thinks good of you, then you're probably not doing something right. Okay? And if your goal is to go out there and make everybody happy, okay, you may be able to do it, but Jesus says, listen, woe to you. Because the ones that everybody speaks well of, okay, were the false prophets. Listen, if you're living a Christian way of life, make no mistake about it, there will be people that don't like you for it. Okay, people will attack you because that's the way Satan works. It doesn't matter what people think. Okay, now, remember, hyperbole, exaggeration for effect. Okay, because listen, God does say, if possible, be at peace with all men. Okay, so this doesn't mean go home and immediately, you know, say something that'll, you know, completely offend your spouse or whoever. Okay, because it doesn't matter what people think of you. That's not what I'm saying. Okay, all right, it only matters what God thinks of you. All right, guilt. Sometimes people feel guilty when they receive something that they didn't earn or deserve. Okay. How do you feel when somebody does something good for you unexpectedly or unreciprocated? How about that? You know, think about it when you it's Christmas time and somebody brings over some gift for your family. What is it the first thing you do? Anybody else do this? You go look in the kitchen and see if there's something you can take a tag off of, right? Okay. Why you do it? You feel what? You feel guilty. Oh, gosh, I didn't do anything for them. Right? Oh, my gosh, I got to do so. I can't believe you did this thing for me, you know, just on your own. Well, when you react that way, when you react and feel guilty and downplay what that person has done, okay, you are doing them harm. How? What does the Bible say about receiving? Anybody remember that verse? It is more blessed to give than to receive, right? Well, if you have somebody give you something, okay, and you react with, oh, no, please don't, you know, why'd you, don't do that. You don't need to do that, please. No, no, no. I feel guilty. I feel terrible. Okay, then you're taking the blessing away from them. That's the way to look at it. Okay? Don't feel guilty because something. Feel good that you're receiving has let them receive the blessing of giving. Okay, so that should help. Okay, guilt sometimes can cause an inability to say no. Okay, you might think, oh gosh, what is this person, if I don't do this for this person, okay, this person's asked me to help with this certain thing, if I don't do it, you know, what are they going to think of me? Okay, it'll motivate you to do things, you know, that maybe you shouldn't do. And like we've seen it before, you know, let's say somebody asks you to help with some charity, all right? They want you to, you know, to help do something, you know, why don't you come help us with, I don't know if I want to use that, yeah, with this project we have going on in this neighborhood, okay? And you think, oh gosh, you know, I don't want them to think I don't ever want to help, or I don't want them to think I'm not helpful, so, yeah, I'd be glad to. Okay, well, that's the kind of thing, when you go and do it, you're kind of wasting your time. Because you're doing it for the wrong reason. What is 1 Corinthians 4:5? I'll read it to you. You've heard it before. It says, therefore, do not go on passing judgment before the time, but wait until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the things hidden in the darkness and disclose the motives of men's hearts. And then each man's praise will come to him from God. Okay? So doing it doesn't do you any good, right? It's why you did it. Okay? So listen, guilt a lot of times will motivate you to do things that, you know, there's no sense in doing, because you're worried about how the other people are going to feel about you. Okay? That's guilt. All right? Sometimes a feeling of inadequacy or an inferiority complex will cause guilt. Oh, you know, I feel bad. I'm just not as good at this or not. Okay? You know, this is something I never struggle with, you know, as far as teaching the Bible. Right? And listen, I know I'm better than everybody. Okay, so I compare myself with other people. This thing's a lot of preachers do struggle with, right? Okay? Hold on. Okay, but no matter what it is, okay, no matter what it is you're thinking about that you think, oh, I'm just not very good at this, I feel bad. This God, that person is so much better at relating to these children than I am. Okay, or that person is so much better in whatever it is than I am. But no matter what it is you're talking about, whatever you're comparing, there's always going to be somebody better at it than you are. Okay, and besides that, there's always going to be somebody worse at it than you are. Okay? And when you sit back and compare yourself with other people, okay, the Bible's real specific about what that is. Go look at 2 Corinthians 10. And I love how these people translated this real nicely. Okay? But it wasn't written this way. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12. Says, for we are not bold to class or compare ourselves with some of those who commend themselves, but when they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are without understanding. Okay, and I love that, without understanding. It really means without the ability to think. Okay, I think the Living Bible actually says they're stupid. Okay, which is what it means. Listen, you know, when you go out and start comparing, oh gosh, well, this person is such a better Christian than me. They do so much more, or they are so much better at speaking Christian principles to other people. You know, this person, gosh, when I see them and they, you know, they have an opportunity to witness to somebody, they are just so much better at it than me. Okay, well, when you start doing that and comparing yourself, okay, what's that going to do? It's going to make you, oh gosh, I feel so bad about myself because of this. Okay, well, one of my favorite verses, flip back to 1 Corinthians 15. Nope.
Let's feast to get drunk for the moment we die.
Well, you know, now that you think about it, no. Actually, 1 Corinthians 15, 10. Which I love. He says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me did not prove vain, but I labored even more than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God with me. Hey, listen, by the grace of God, I am what I am. He made all the decisions about you. Okay, he determined your time and place of birth, your circumstances, your personality, your looks, your amount of hair. Dang him, I'll get him back for this, right? Okay, whatever it is, you are what you are by the grace of God. Okay, he doesn't make mistakes about this. Okay, so there's somebody out there that's a little better at being able to, and I have somebody specifically in mind, okay, that I know that I've seen, if whatever situation, something will come up, and they will just jump on this opportunity to be, to witness. Okay, and I always said, gosh, they are so good. I wish I could be better at that. Well, I'm being an idiot. Okay, God didn't make me that way. Okay, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Okay, why compare yourself? He's made the perfect decisions, okay, to give us each individually the best opportunity to accomplish what he designed us to accomplish. We've all been very specifically designed, personality, looks, location, everything, okay, very specifically designed for a perfect purpose. Okay, listen, it's not like God looks down and says, okay, now look how Mal's turned out, how am I going to use him now? Okay, oh, you know, with these bad decisions he's made, how am I going to use it? God has always had all of that inside of his plan, ready for this one moment to use us exactly how he wants us used. By the grace of God, I am what I am.
Paul said that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Paul, who was, you know, had his own sets of issues. We don't even know what the thorn in the flesh was. Somebody said he's a small, ugly man. Okay, somebody said he had a speech impediment. I mean, you know, somebody said he had a nagging wife, whatever it may be. Okay, he had his own set of issues. And he says this, listen, by the grace of God, I am exactly what I am. Okay, he designed me. Okay, and the same thing applies with your weaknesses. Okay, listen, you know, we all have a different set of problems and issues and weaknesses. Okay, well, God's part of that design too. Okay? Alright, guilt can also come not just from the bad things that we do, okay, but also from the good things that we don't do. Right? Like James 4:17, therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. Okay, so listen, I can't believe I didn't say this to this person. I can't believe, you know, I can't believe I hadn't been to Sunday school in 4 weeks. Or, you know, everybody has been here. Good. I didn't. That was not for anybody in particular. Okay, but listen, be careful. Guilt will disconnect you from God. Okay, just like what he told Cain after he came down and Cain, you know, Cain had murdered his brother Abel. God came down and said, where's your brother? And, you know, and he says, am I my brother's keeper? I'm not in charge of him. Okay. Instead of saying, you know, hey, I did it, whatever, you know, he does that. Well, he tells Cain, you will be a restless wanderer on the earth. Listen, you continue to focus on your mistakes. You continue to feel guilty about things. Okay, and you will be a restless wanderer. Okay, disconnected from God. Okay, so many people live like this and miss out on so much. Okay, listen, we're all products of our past, but we don't have to be prisoners of our past. All right, now make no mistake about it, we've all made decisions that have consequences now. Okay? It's all part of, you know, everybody makes bad decisions sometimes, and you might be suffering now because of some decision you made in the past. Okay, but that doesn't give you the right to feel guilty about it. Oh, if only I hadn't done that. Okay, that's the wrong way to look at it. Listen, because right now, today, God's plan for me includes whatever mistakes have happened, because he's always known about them. All right? Listen, feeling guilty is the wrong way to do it. Listen, you know, here's a good example. All right? Maybe you married the wrong person. I know none of us did, right? Okay, maybe you married the wrong person. Okay? Well, that's going to have consequences, right? Well, on the bright side, I didn't. Here, so these are the kind of things my wife says to me at home all the time. Same with feeling, honey. read them to you. Just tell them. Those are all the things she said to me in the past couple weeks.
We don't need to ask directions. Maybe we can find a shortcut. Honey, don't worry about taking out the trash. I could use the exercise. Don't worry about using a glass. Just go ahead and drink out of the carton. I have not said these things.
Oh, yes, you have.
It really doesn't matter if you leave the toilet seat up. It will stay cleaner that way. Your new secretary is cute. I bet she's smart, too.
Are you I don't have one.
Sure it's okay to wash this shirt? You've only worn it for a couple of days. A new reversible drill. Oh, thanks, honey. That's just what I needed. As long as you're comfortable, dear, no one will care what you wear. Oh, you're watching a ball game? Just stay there on the couch and I'll whip up snacks.
That's my favorite one.
I'll finish cleaning out the garage, honey. Your friends are waiting for you to play golf. My friends all think you're hot.
Yeah. Aren't those funny? See, so I did marry the perfect wife, because she says stuff like that all the time. But anyway, yeah, why spend your life looking back at the mistakes? Why feel guilty? Okay, because when you do, okay, you are looking at life the wrong way. All right, Philippians 3:13, you've heard it a million times. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do. Okay, forgetting what lies behind, reaching forward to what lies ahead. Okay, every mistake you've made in the past, okay, is a part of God's plan for you today. Okay, listen, they may have been mistakes. They may have been horrible things. Okay, but God's going to take everything together now and accomplish what he wants to accomplish with you. All right, he can do amazing things with people who make mistakes. Okay, he took a murderer and turned him into probably the greatest leader in the Bible, Moses. Okay, he took a man who was a coward and turned him into a great war hero, Gideon. Okay, don't you think he could do the same for us? Okay, he could take whatever things you've committed, okay, and turn it into something that he wants you to accomplish. Okay, so instead of looking back and thinking, gosh, you know, I feel terrible about this. Okay, instead of feeling guilty, okay, realize that our God specializes in forgiveness. Okay, he is a God of fresh starts, of new beginnings. Okay, so when I wake up today, there may be consequences from things I've done in the past. Okay, but whatever those consequences are, okay, God has always known them, and he has perfectly designed a plan that included those things. So you know what? By the grace of God, I am what I am. Okay, and his grace did not prove vain. Okay? Look at it that way. You know, when you make mistakes, don't sit around and feel guilty. Okay, all you're doing when you do that, okay, is getting in the back of the wrong taxi. Okay, and you are not going to be accomplishing God's will. How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Okay? All right, we'll go on with a couple of other things that might distract us next week. Any questions? All right, let's close with prayer. Father, thank you especially for being a God of forgiveness. Thank you for providing the solution to us for guilt. Help us to remember these things, to remember what you've done with our sin, to remember how you think about it, and to remember that whatever it is in the past is part of what you have designed for us in the future. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.